This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Gear up for the match with suitable casual clobber. From overshirts and jackets to polos and tees, hoodies, sweatshirts, hats and more. Fritterskladder is making waves in the pubs and on the terraces. Come join the FDR movement and get 15% off with your discount code WMS. Stand out in the crowd, be indie, search FDR clothing online and on socials.
Say podcast. The game's literally just finished. I'm in the Harbour View, and I'm still Matthew Keelan, as I often forget to tell you. I'm joined by Stephen Goldsmith, who's having a nice time. Well, we're all having a nice
lovely time. After the last few games, amazing.
I've got something to ask you about your new sponsor, Fritterskladder. You'll know a lot about it.
Yeah, look, massive lads fan, started this brand up, Fritterskladder, casual clothing, doing really well nationwide, but particularly here, and I would say go and check it out. I was on looking for some sweatshirts and hoodies they've just brought out, and they're sold out really, really quickly, so they've just restocked on those, so I would say go and have a look at those. FDR clothing, online, we'll take you to their website. If you Google FDR clothing, or if you do Facebook, or Twitter or Instagram, you can find it there.
Yeah, good. Do that.
Discount code as well, I think.
WMS15, I believe
so. Yeah.
Well, that's what you told us you'd do. Well, that's what I said on the other podcast.
I would say give it a go and then get in touch if it doesn't work.
Yeah.
But I think they're setting it up. Yeah.
Well, it was Rebecca's here as well. If you anyone wants to chip in, really, well, I say anyone, there's just. Well, I had us down to lose this heavily. 5-1, I believe I said.
I agree, I thought we were going to lose. Yeah. I was pleasantly surprised. We're better away than at home, so I suppose.
I don't think anyone had us down to win this.
Well, I did a bit with our good friend Gary Gowers from My Football Writer, and I'd said, while I wasn't feeling confident, I did predict 1-1 just because I thought we had to stop the rot at some point, and I thought that we would rather play against a team like Norwich than a team like Stoke or Rotherham, who were just going to bully us off the pitch. Because Norwich, in theory, weren't going to do that. So I can't sit here and pretend that I thought we were going to win, though. I was hopeful that a draw might have stopped the run.
The performance was great, really. You can't, considering you look at the bench, the depleted squad that we had out, it was the same team as last week, which will have raised a few eyebrows. The midfield was non-existent last week, and then this week, it shows. I mean, Stoke are not a footballing side, Norwich are, but
give us a chance, didn't it?
Yeah,
against a team like that. I think
it helped that we got given a lot of space and time on the ball that we don't normally see against a lot of teams. I think that really helped playing a footballing side like Norwich.
I think, yeah, and you just look at the table there, we're 3 points behind Norwich now.
So, what was interesting, you know, Danny Bard got man of the match.
Yeah.
And I think that just shows these kind of games you need that experience in those players. Luke O'Neill was the one who stood out, who just got us through that game, and some of that's been lacking the last few games.
Gooch came on, he was great.
And again, another player who's experienced and it's not always about being pleasing on the eye and cutting teams open. You need to roll your sleeves up sometimes and just get through these games. And one thing again, I just mentioned when I did that little bit for the Norwich blog, I did say one thing you can't accuse this team of is letting them, they don't put their heads down, they keep going and they'll give it a go.
To the detriment sometimes.
Yeah, exactly.
That's why
yeah,
we got big five yeah, last week, because you're just like, I've said at the beginning that I thought if Norwich had scored early, I think it could have been a really long afternoon. But I think the way we started, we did give them a lot of space in the first 10 minutes. They were getting in behind the fullbacks. But they never really... Patterson was not busy. You wouldn't see it.
I don't think they ever got going, really. Not know what I think Norwich are capable of.
A lot of the ball around the box.
Never really sliced us open, though, did they? We kind of kept them at arm's length, despite them having a lot of heavy pressure around our box, like you say. But, you know...
And the goal... Fantastic.
Amazing goal. That little step over before he shifts it and hits it.
He's put it in the other...
It's a set of forwards finish. It's absolutely brilliant, yeah.
He's put it in the other corner. The goalkeeper's just wrong. He's wrong-footed, the goalkeeper. Yeah. They're going about the commentator. Abysmal, by the way. The commentary, appalling. The officiating, appalling.
As per usual.
But he was going, the keeper's blindsided. He's not really. He's just tricked him. Like, the keeper's gone well, and he's put it in the other. It's a brilliant finish from Barr. Yeah. Really, I thought he was good.
Yeah.
Eddie Shinpad's in the middle was all right.
He did.
To quote
well.
Tom Walsh.
Yeah. There wouldn't be one player you would look at really and say didn't roll the sleeves up or do the part.
I thought Hume was going to be in for a tough afternoon after the first 10 minutes, because he kept getting caught. But yeah, great. Second half, I think Norwich had set, came up, they had 75% possession. But I can't really remember them having a shot on target in the second half.
They were always going to have more possession than us. That was just, like we've said, the way they play, that was a given. That was always going to happen. It was always going to be about what we can do on the counter attack and how we can defend.
It was the first 15 minutes that surprised me in the second half, because I thought they would come out. Say that was a Dean Smith team, they would have come out. Because you know exactly what he would have done. I don't know what their manager's weird as well. No, he is. Wagner's a freak.
He's a very Norwich-y appointment, isn't he? They do like a certain brand of football, a certain style of manager. But now, you know what? They all stood up, and I was worried about, you know, midway through the second half, you thought who were going to bring on from the bench to help this. Not convinced on Ekwas, what I'm seeing so far.
I think you've been quite polite
really,
there.
Really early days, you know. And when Michoud first came, he didn't play for ages. And, you know, he's a young lad who hasn't played much first-team football. You know, I think sometimes you can forget that because of the size of him. He's an absolute unit, isn't he?
But he's quite scared of the
ball. He's a young, inexperienced lad. Yeah, didn't help things when he came on.
I don't think you can say any of them had a bad game.
No.
Even Ekwad, I mean, he wasn't, you know, outstanding, but I don't think he had a terrible game.
I thought he was... I don't know. Like,
anxious, I would say.
Yeah, he did. He looked scared.
But that's natural. Like, when you don't have a lot of first team football in the bank. Yeah, you're going to.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
He looked scared.
Yeah,
we need him.
He's kind of like avoiding the ball.
Need him
not to be scared.
Well,
it's the obvious position where we need somebody like that to come into the team. We're all saying, you know, we got sliced open through the middle last week. Barr was a much better choice to play there than Pritchard was.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
But you do kind of need a bit more physicality in there, as well as they did today.
Yeah.
And Ekwa fits up profile on paper.
Right, but he doesn't seem to in reality. I think...
Yeah. Looking for the doubt, it's really early for him.
Lehadji, I thought, was great.
He made a difference.
He's definitely going to be an outlet, isn't he? Like, he's definitely going to be very useful.
Well, it's the last thing they needed when they're trying to get back into the game.
Yeah.
Oh, this guy's actually he's just going to hit the ball and run after it. You know, even if we didn't realistically think anything was going to come from that.
But then he got throw-ins and corners and fouls from
that.
He
was taking three players with him every time he was doing it, and it's getting us 20 yards up the pitch, which again links back to why you need centre-forwards. Because that, you know, you give your centre-forward the ball a hole, you get up the pitch. We'll not moan about that. We just won a game.
Centre-forwards, I thought Gellert played well.
If he'd scored that goal, like you said before, in the first half, it's a perfect game for him. He did nothing wrong.
He has to score there, to be fair.
He does,
He does.
Yeah, well, but we all make mistakes.
But he did, many. Yeah. But he did a lot of good work, though. I thought it was good, and I think...
It's best game for us, I think.
I would say so.
I think from all of them, it says a lot to come from a 5-1 defeat at home to Stoke.
Yeah.
To then play like they did today and win 1-0 against Norwich.
Yeah.
It says a lot about their mentality as a team and how strong they are as a team.
Yeah. You've got to give them a lot of credit. I didn't give us a hope in hell today. I thought Norwich would dismantle the team, and especially when you saw it was the same team. It's like, right, well, how many do you want? Because
I looked at our next six games and thought no points from that, to be honest, last Saturday.
You could have feasibly seen us losing the next three, like
I
today.
I never thought we'd win today, watching last Saturday's performance. And I think it's a testament to them how they've done today.
And I think the manager with his substitutions as well, he took some really unwarranted stick during the week, Tony Mowbray, which is just ridiculous.
Mowbray,
you know, people questioning him and whatever. He got it wrong last week.
He's the last person you could be blaming for our... I mean, decision's wrong. Team selections are we've criticised, but...
That's fine. But he came out last week and said, look, it was my fault.
You'll never have a football manager who fans don't criticise the team selections and get things wrong. It's impossible. That's never going to happen.
Mowbray's the first to admit when it goes... And it's not him going, oh, well, I'm sorry. It's not him just, like, whinging. It's like, he's got it wrong, right? I'd far rather have that than some, you know, arsehole like Lee Johnson coming out and blaming other stuff and saying, like, Mowbray come out, got it wrong, we move on, and he's moved on, and we've gone away to, I think they were in reasonable nick, Norwich, and we've beaten them 1-0, and you can't, just like you mentioned the referee.
Well, I was going to say, because had we lost the game, you can always be accused of just blaming the ref for a defeat. So let's just... The fact we've won is not going to stop us from going in on how insane that performance was. This, how many games in a row has it been now?
What, just inept referee?
Just talking about how bad the referee was and just mind-blowing decisions. That one in the first half where was it Max Aarons who went down when Clark was nowhere near him? Now, the thing with that is, like, so he was nowhere near him, he didn't touch him, so the ref couldn't have seen that. So he could have translated it as a foul. All he could have possibly seen was a Norwich player go down. So why are you guessing? Why are you giving the benefit of the doubt? Player has gone down. Because you can't translate it as a foul because he was nowhere near him. So it's impossible.
I'm going to believe him.
Yeah, like, why? So in other words, you might as well just keep throwing yourself to the ground because the ref's got to guess and give you it.
I think my problem with referees, and there are many, who grows up wanting to be a referee is the first one. But my issue is, they turn up essentially for work every week. They're all shit. They're all rubbish. And nothing ever happens. Nothing will happen to that referee, therefore, because we've won 1-0. No one's been cost. You know, it hasn't cost us a game.
But it could happen another day.
Exactly. And like, you look at the tackle Danny Batt did. It's a fantastic. He's getting booked for that. There was things like them getting a corner where the last minute there, they would drop ball when he gave Gooch the ball back. He just gave them four men around.
Yeah.
Nothing's going to happen to that referee because of that performance today, right? Because we've won the game. If everyone, people, we all go to work, you know, and we all do I try and do a reasonable job at work, right? If I did a shit job at work, you'd be called out on it, and stuff would happen to you, and you'd be disciplined for it. Referees seem to walk. If a footballer is shit, they get dropped. If a referee's shit, nothing ever happens. They go, it's a difficult job. It's not really, mate. No. You're just like running about.
You're not getting whether a player's just throwing himself.
Not have to be a fucking, like, it's not. It isn't. Yeah, I know things are like borderline. They've got to make a call sometimes. Yeah, that's like some stuff. Some things are a difficult call. That officiating day was nothing short of a disgrace.
After the Danny Bart one, where he's won the ball and he's booked him, and you just thought, like, all right, by now, he's taking a piss. And that one where the player comes in and just pushes Dan Neil over.
Yeah, he gives a corner
on
for that.
The touchline, and he gives a corner for it. And you're like, right, yeah, he is actually taking a piss now.
And you look like Martin Lewis.
Complete
arsehole. Honestly, that fucking... I'm not having it. Like, it needs... nothing will ever be done about it. Nothing. It's never going to stop. Referees will always be rubbish, and it'll always impact games, and people will always be cost points of it because of it, and people will just go, oh well, it balances itself out in the end. Well, it doesn't matter. It's irrelevant.
Do I find it confusing, because it's sort of like, if we can see it, how can he not see
that's
it?
That's what I mean. That's supposed to have assessors,
obvious things.
Like, there's a referee who's big boss referee. But why is big referee boss not like getting involved?
I don't know who that is, for the EFL, to be honest.
Be some dickhead like
Webb does it for the Premier League.
Well, he's another. I mean, look at him in the World Cup final. How can he like say, oh, you're not very good?
You think there'd be a system where every game gets reviewed?
It's a farce.
It should get reviewed, but I'm not convinced anything ever happens.
And the reason I'm making this point now is because I don't want it to be construed as a point of us blaming
a
referee for something.
We do after we've won the game. Yeah.
And like the fact that we've won the game despite that performance.
Because it could have cost us that.
It could have quite easily. Yeah. And it's just, it's not good enough. Yeah. Like, it isn't good enough. And nothing's... I say it's weird, but nothing's ever going to be done, is it? But, you know, hey ho. I'm annoyed. Well, I'm not now, actually. I needed to get that out.
It's not annoying, but it's systemic at the end of the day, and nothing's ever going to get done about it, and that's the problem.
It's a fundamental problem within the workings of the game.
And
it's true.
And,
yeah, it is. It's true. But I feel much better now.
Yeah, good. We'll finish by giving some prayers. And Jack Clark, I want to say, like, always make himself available.
Yeah.
Or like whatever happens, and whatever, you know, he goes through up and down spells, and he has a few weeks where he's not really doing it. But his touch is just so good. The way, like, it doesn't matter what pace or height somebody fires the ball, a crossfield ball to him, he doesn't just take it down. He pushes it into his own path every time. That's such a talent.
Robert's touch when he was...
Oh, my God. Well, he's took it down the middle of the park, swivelled on it, and then stood up and just took it away. I mean...
He's so beautiful.
I mean, it's sensational. Sensational stuff.
It was great. It was a perfect away performance, you could say. Really.
Yeah.
Thought we were great.
Overall, the park, it was just amazing,
really good.
And we'll get to it tomorrow. With Sheffield United aren't playing that well, and it's...
They're not?
We really needed that result.
Well, it gives you a lot of confidence. We won't talk about Wednesday.
No.
Stephen and Gareth will be back tomorrow. Who's on?
I don't know.
Right.
Fine, it's a surprise.
Oh, well, it's a surprise for you when you dial in and Chris Weatherspoon's on again. Oh, for fuck's sake. Right. Gareth and Stephen will be back.
Gone from being never available to, like, two available.
Terrible thing. Right, yeah. Gareth and Stephen are back tomorrow. I'll be back. I think Tom might be back on the preview show this week. So that'd be nice. And that's it, really. Go on, is there anything to read on the website?
Enjoy your Sunday.
Enjoy your Sunday. I'm in the harbour, so come there. Cheers, all the best.
FDR clothing. Check it out.
And remember, everything is pointless. Cheers, all the best.
deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.